Chilly morning. I don't even know what day it is. Some day in April. Middle of April. I'm settled on housing. And I don't think it's a bad choice at all. It's good for a lot of things. So, you know, at least that's done. And we've got everything kind of sorted out. That way, I like having things fixed finally. I think it helps with everything. To just start moving forward and making plans. And Lisa's already figuring out how she's going to do things to the other house. And I'm just kind of like, oh, we're just going to get ourselves in there. Figure it all out later. But that's the difference between Lisa and I. And it's a good compliment. It's a good compliment between us. So, morning walk. I don't know what's going to happen to the morning walk. Might be replaced with biking back and forth to work again. Now this is, I have to recall that back in the old days, I broke the camel's back on riding the bike, which I had done for four years. Maybe five. Anyway, as I start going through pants, I was going through pants too fast. I think I could get a cheap seat that would be a little more amenable to all this. We'll just have to see. I can't really tell what would be good and what wouldn't be. It is better because one of the other things that broke the camel's back was the fact that the toughest winds would typically come in the afternoon. When I was trying to bike home, it was always a headwind from the southwest. That was exactly my path. And this time, it's exactly reversed. I go to the southwest. I go west and south in the morning. And then I go north and east at night in the evening. And that, that's a good thing. We'll see how it works. You know, you just really don't know the headaches or something until you get into them. And of course, it's the built-in of exercise, which is good for me. Keep me going, keep me in shape, keep me alive. The blowing sand is amazing, though. Seems like every day lately, it's just going everywhere. I think the callus is being destroyed as an agricultural reason. one thing that saved this place from behaving the same way is that we've pretty much given up on agriculture. We don't plow around here. And, if you don't plow it, it doesn't tend to kick up as much. It tends to stay down. Especially if you don't get rid of what ground cover there was. Well, yesterday, President Barack Obama with his plans for gun control were dashed. A while back I had done an essay on the fact that we needed to be cognizant of the fact that he's a community organizer. That's what he comes from. He isn't a governor. He isn't an executive on any level at all. He is I'm trying to understand him as ultra lobbyist. And I think time has borne out that this is true of him. I'd paint a picture of how things typically go and how Barack Obama doesn't behave like that. Willing to crucify people. Doesn't give a care about political reality. And, one of his biggest problems. Number one, he's not a leader. Or at least he's not a political leader. He doesn't do the kind of things that need to be done. He's certainly never gracious. He's petulant and angry. Of lying and deceiving. Very unpresidential. Lest you think I am some kind of Republican conservative ideologue. I don't really have much respect for the other side either. Not a meal, huh? Or an Obama hater particularly. I think he is a soulless person. I think he's a classic example of I think he was a 60s, I think he's a holdover of 60s radicalism. Stephen Gaskin, who was a founder of the farm. Of course, if you go to the farm now, it's nothing like what one would have originally thought. Those are the times of communes and getting together and it was the ultimate emotional emotionalism. I liked the Back to the Land movement when I was a kid, back in the 70s. When it was prominent, the early 70s. Now, I read about it 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, after it had already died out. Every third commune was in New Mexico. The great love and the great sharing, you know, it sounds all very good, but you have to have a certain kind of people to do it, and they have to be people that are imbued with real morals, and I think that ended up being kind of what was lacking about it. Everybody seemed to be doing it for their own private reasons. Whether it was commerce or put this down there. Come on. There we go. Anyway, so it kind of died on that issue, and it made for a lot of disillusioned people. That Back to Land thing morphed into ecology. Smaller group morphed into the environmentalism movement. Basically the same sorts of people. It appealed basically to people in their 20s. A little bit younger if they're motivated at all. And that's really kind of what happens to Barack Obama. He really wants to be the Steve Gaston modern day Stephen Gaston. Everybody says, oh no, he's like Martin Luther King. You know, no, that's romanticizing it. Barack Obama would make a good cult leader, be an excellent cult leader. But a really interesting one. You know, one with all kinds of weird ideas and not really very unified. And that's really what we've seen over time with Barack Obama is that he doesn't even have a soul, particularly. I could have a little respect for a cult leader who tricked everybody and was doing it for money. At least that was a person who had a set goal and was working toward that goal. And to some degree was doing what was necessary to accomplish the goal. Barack Obama doesn't have a goal. As far as I'm aware of. When people say, oh, he's a socialist, if he is, he's a very extremely poor one. Listening to an interview between Piers Morgan, who is a very I find him to be a very obnoxious individual. Yet another guy who really doesn't know what to do with the platform he's won. And that by and large, he's probably going to just sink into irrelevance. The only thing that makes his star shining is when he has somebody really smitty on the show. And his only purpose seems to be to rev them up and gets him yelling. That gets him the best rating. And I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's his shtick, you know, if that's his purpose, or if he's just authentically that bad of an interviewer. And I said, oh no, he really brings people out. And you go, these are people who are very willing to say exactly what they think. Here's to just shut up and give them the microphone if you wanted to hear what they had to say. Everybody's inconsistent. And the fact that he tries to portray himself as a person who is never inconsistent is, I think he comes off as being horribly, horribly erudite. Aristocratic. And I don't think, you know, he tries to bring the British stuff to America. And, I don't think it's compelling at all. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was interviewing Bill Maher, former host of the show Quickly and Correct. And, Bill Maher is a diehard, leftist liberal, and you have to respect him for being consistent in that way. And he took Barack Obama to task. He's very upset because, you know, a lot of people voted for Barack Obama because he was because they have this impression of him and this hope of him. And, Barack Obama runs good campaigns when he campaigns for president. When he campaigns for anything, he's a good campaigner. Hard to beat. Almost got beat by Mitt Romney. Almost. And, you know, people say, oh, no, he didn't have the electoral votes. You go, yeah, you have to understand how the electoral votes go. And you go, they will always magnify tiny differences. It's just the nature of the beast. And you go, it was much closer. Mitt Romney did inspire the base, particularly. He still had some of his problems with being a Mormon. And Barack Obama was still able to get enough people interested in there's still hopeful people, even though the Barack Obama administration, I think, would be best exemplified by being lackluster. And very short on any accomplishment at all. Even the few things he won, I think they're very heavily compromised. Poor leader. Very, extremely poor president. Extremely poor. come away from this feeling like he was an amazing president, or feeling like he accomplished very much. I think he's disappointed nearly everybody who voted for him. And so, the guy who touted the fact that he wasn't going to be a typical person in the White House, he was right. He was right about that. I think there has rarely been anybody less presidential than Barack Obama. Probably ever. I know he'll go down in history as the first black president, and that doesn't speak well for the black race. Could have had somebody better. Everybody thought that they were going to get Martin Luther King Jr. as the President of the United States, right, wrong, make the world a more just place, make the world more equitable, and the conservatives are right. Of course, they hate all things Barack Obama, so you have to take this with them. In its context, but whenever it was convenient, whenever he felt like he was being trashed a little too hard, he was eager to pull out the race card, usually one of the most divisive presidents in just using divisiveness. Whenever he thought it would profit him politically. Poor leader. We are yet again another 8 years from where we need to be. In making progress at all towards, frankly, anything. If we were trying to become a socialist state, I think he's done a poor job of that, too. All the accusations that conservatives make, most people I listen to. I don't get many opportunities to listen to liberal voices. Because, frankly, well, the few I can hear, are so gushing and so pandering. Disillusioned people, and I'll tell you why they're disillusioned. It's really simple. The guy who was supposed to be a slam dunk, and he should have been. There's no question. The first black president, when he came into office, he had both houses of Congress pretty firmly. Should have been able to do pretty much whatever he wanted. And it was slaughtered. It was used for bad political effects. In the midterm, he lost the House, barely hung on to the Senate. And, if I were a left-leaning person, I would be just just upset a lot. And President Obama has proven to be very soulless. Sadly, that ends up being, I think, pretty indicative of the Democratic Party, which is a huge coalition of mutual affinity that has almost every fringe group many of the militants that there can be, and Barack Obama seems to be trying at one time or another to be the lobbyist / community activist for each one of them, but coming to realize what the Democratic Party is, which is just a bunch of different groups that are only kind of lightly associated with each other. More of a, hey, if you stretch my back, I'll stretch yours kind of coalition. And, and Barack Obama's a bad back stretcher. When he's stretching one person's back, he's usually smacking other people in the Democratic tent in the head. And so he still has the loyalty because they still have the concept that, you know, when one of those votes rise, all of them do. But they're finding out that it's not. That it really is a really loose coalition altogether. And the only reason why they still support him is because there's only two choices, and the other choice has nothing to do with them. The other choice sees these individual fringe groups and ignores them. Not that the Republicans are really that good at it either. Both of the parties have lost whatever moral basis they had has long been lost, and now it's just a grudge match between two. You kind of hold your nose when either one of them come around. The American political outlook, the way our system has evolved over the years, is just atrocious. And the only time it works at all is when it chooses to do nothing, and when political forces just kind of grind everything to a halt. That's really when any kind of good is served. It seems like both camps, if they were to be given the power that they deserve, if they were to be given the authority that they would like to wield, America would be a dark, bitter, nasty place. Either a Hitler form of fascism under ruling banks and corporations in the Republican view, or the most socialist country on the face of God's green earth, if the Democrats could come together and get everything they wanted. what each individual faction of the Democratic Party wanted. And both sides have legitimate grievances against the other. Nobody needs to lie or particularly to exaggerate. They're both right. Now, they both do. They both lie and they both exaggerate. Trying to get purchase against the other. Soften the independent voter. I guess I'm an independent, which is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that they're not allied with the Republicans on the Democrats. People mistake me for a Republican because I am a believer that we should get out of the way of commerce and each individual person's efforts to make money. I have a very firm belief that unmoneyed people are powerless. The only thing worse than an unmoneyed poor person is a person that receives a welfare check. That's actually the only thing worse than not for being bad people, but for being people that can't enjoy their liberties. And trading off your liberties for a government check doesn't do anything good. The great socialist dream, which is that everybody works hard and everybody gives their money to a central authority, and that central authority fairly and equitably divvies out the money that at least with the kind of people we have now, that doesn't work. It will always fall to a kind of strict communism where it's forced, where people have no choices. Where whatever liberty you have exercises itself in an illegal black market. That all energy, enterprise, all creativity ends up being used to get around and subvert the system, which is a horrible waste of all these things. The wonderful ability of America to be an economic and liberty juggernaut. Was done because you weren't having to use energy, creativity. You weren't having to use your talent to learn how to wring the most out of a system. That was one of the sad parts about communism, was how much of that it chewed up. As people strove to have what man just naturally have. And it saddens me that America is falling down on its promise I am not an entrepreneur. I am not a I am not a capitalist particularly. But other people are. And there needs to be a place for them. A place that's relatively unbridled. A place that where these things can happen. And it doesn't have to be because you can outrun the revenuers. You know, you have a faster car than the cops. Or better guns, or whatever. Barack Obama should... Right now, I say this to myself on a pretty regular basis. Barack Obama should probably move to Europe. I mean, he wouldn't have as much to do because Europe's pretty much, you just have to push it with your finger to get it more, to accomplish some of the goals that Barack Obama has come up with. So, it's this strange hybrid of American drive and passion styled with this almost European need to socialize things. I don't know how well it would work. When I think about Barack Obama, I think about somebody who has a little bit of arrested development, honestly. I think he's a bit of a man-child. I think somewhere in his past, childhood, adolescence, if he had any moral grounding, it was taken from him. I think that just as much as there is an American ruling class that's out looking for new talent and grooming it, I think a countervailing force of radicals got a hold of Barack Obama, helped him along, groomed him, and did a pretty good job making the kid a blank slate. For the modern concept of socialism to work, you really need kind of a banal, soulless population. Because you really have to, it's great dream of working your fingers to the bone to the betterment of others. Only very moralistic people can do that, and socialism always breaks on that, or at least the way socialism is trying to be done. always breaks on them. Because for the present system to work, you have to really not care too deeply about people. You pay lip service to caring about. I mean, that's the whole shtick of socialism, is how caring it is for everyone. But at its very heart, it doesn't believe its rhetoric. It doesn't trust people. You can't let people have a, that's why every form of socialism falls to a variant of communism very quickly. It all of a sudden becomes fascist. Is the basic thing of you can't trust people. There are no good people. The only goodness can come from the system. Is what socialism preaches. And so, therefore, when it becomes that, because they think that's something that's going to work, you strip away the kind of morality, the kind of goodness that will produce a person that says, I work really hard. If I was in some Catholic country, I would make $200,000 a year, but I gladly accept $40,000 a year and give the balance to other people. You know, give it to the ditch digger who can only make $10,000 a year, and he can have $30,000 a year. You know, he can count $40,000 too. Socialism says that people will not choose to do that consciously. So the government has to take, confiscate practically from rich people and give it to poor people. And of course it does it poorly. You know, basically gives people money for doing nothing. Therefore, nobody feels good, nobody is satisfied. Society is not made better, it's actually made worse. As people say, why on earth should I work? Why on earth should I work? If I stop working, I get a government check. It reduces everybody down to mindless consumers. And strangely, I know it seems strange to people, because socialists will swear up and down that they don't comprehend this. But that actually ends up being the end of severe corporatism, which America chooses as well. That's why those people say, I don't understand, you know, we try to push more and more socialistic things and we don't get enough fight back from corporatism. And you go, corporatism likes it. Why? Because stupid, unprincipled, soulless consumers are very easy to sell products to. Inferior, crappy, cheap products sold at a high margin, which corporatism loves. You want discerning buyers. Discerning buyers make thoughtful choices. Large corporations can't really adjust to that. So, all these things kind of feed into each other, and it's really funny because it seems like they're at horrible odds and everybody's fighting for one or the other. And we should only be grateful that they do. Otherwise, boy, would we be under a horrible tyranny right now. And we probably will be once somebody figures out that, yes, you can do socialism and corporatism at the same time. You can divvy up people and decide which corporation they belong to. thing as long as that corporation agrees to give them the house and 500 channel television and stuff like that. You know, the socialist state doesn't mind selling them into slavery. You know, it fits their worldview. You know, everybody's kind of the same. So you go, yeah, well, slaves. So that's why I think that when the probably the most likely future of the way things kind of are is going to kind of be kind of a hybrid form of manorialism. We'll make enough, you know, it won't look exactly like it so that people won't be upset with it, but because it's going to be large corporations who are the lords of the manor, and that there will certainly be two classes. There will be the C-DAS class, the chief whatever. We finally figured out that if you dangle the possibility of becoming a lord in front of people, they'll be good, happy slaves, thinking that it might happen to them. You can give them a job as an intermediate, low-level taskmaster, and they'll be satisfied. The allure of the Republican Party to people who aren't rich is the fact that someday they will get rich, and they don't want bad things to happen to rich people, they want to be rich. That's going to be a very powerful force in the future. You already see our country going that way. We have far less artists, we have far less philosophers, we have far less of any of these things in favor of semi-skilled professionals and an entire fleet of MBAs, Masters of Business Administration. Soon I think every third person in the United States will have a Master's in Business Administration, with the hope that they will someday rise to the level of a chief officer. And we continually make more and more chief officers. You know, we need to make enough of those posts to satisfy the desire for power among people. At the same time, we do want to, you know, placate everybody else. We want everybody else to be able to have a house, a little house, a big screen TV, fast enough internet that the porn goes like that. Everyone else come up with a new virtual reality so that you can inject yourself into your favorite television show with all the beautiful people. And boy, whoever comes up with that is going to be an amazingly powerful person. And we've read a world that wants that. There's very few. I am probably one of the strangest people in the world that doesn't have anything to do. And I'm getting into a position where I have even less to do with television, with that kind of small-minded thinking. I find myself separating myself further and further from that. I've always been a person who said, I don't care who the president is. The president has no bearing in my life. Whatever the president chooses to do, I can care less. It's not going to influence what I do, ultimately. And it varies a bit. I think it's going to be good because I think I'm going to be less connected to me. I read an article a couple of days ago. And I think it's very, very honest. Funny enough, it came out of the newspaper. This is definitely not a preaching to the choir thing. This is a guy who says he hasn't watched news in 20 years. Lots to listen to news. And, I find that very... I see his point. I think it's a valid point. I think that from what I do read, I can tangentially know what's going on in the world. I don't have to listen directly to news to do this. I don't want to become one of those people that has to be interested in that. Or people say, oh, okay, you need to become a tech in the industry. No, I don't have any interest in that. I want to be the best in my field. But honestly, I want to, rise to my potential. I hope that potential is not rule the world type stuff. I would prefer it be along the lines of he's so good at what he does that it means people want to listen to what he says. You know, it seems like if you're good at one thing, people make the supposition that you're good at all kinds of things, but it gives you a certain platform. And I think that would be the kind of manifestation of power that I think is worthwhile. So am I ultimately going to get a PhD in something? Probably. I don't know what in yet. Very happy with the choice I've made here to get away from desk side support. I never felt like I was particularly good at it, nor particularly interested in it. I think the other people that have my same job right now at New Mexico State are much better suited to the work than I am. And I don't want to play it down at all. It's really important. A lot of things wouldn't happen. But I'm really quite excited to go into the back office and do the big iron stuff to take care of those kinds of machines. I've been working with Linux for so long and the desktop motif is just kind of, it's convenient, but I struggle under its lack of power, and I'm excited for the opportunity to do more, can I call it Unix-y stuff? I've always gravitated toward BSD, which is never known as a desktop platform on any level at all. So, that's something I'm going to miss too, is running into the family. When I go get Josh, that's going to end here in a week and a half. 2 weeks. Still going to be here for another week. getting things taken care of, although I'll probably just go into the palace and start working diligently on getting other things pulled together. Number one, it never really worked very well. Number two, it looks stupid. I need to get it off here. I think that'll do more to making the house look better than almost anything else. Okay, chilly north wind. Let's just get to 50 today and then get back to the regular stuff tomorrow. And so, Obama and all, not because of personal reasons, but just because some of them are precious. He was probably kind of a poor president. Can't say presidential at all. But that's it. That's it. That would have been better.
I think he could have taken a better view of reality and tried to make it work better, but he didn't, so there it is.
Anyway, so.